The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you, Brother Palmore. Take your Bible and go back to Nehemiah, if you will. And as we look at Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 30 through 31, you'll see that here in the scriptures, God is reminding us of how good he is. And he's taking them all the way back in review. He's kind of rehearsing the goodness of God to those whom he's speaking to, all the way back to the time of Abraham. And he's showing them that there's been times when the judgment of God surely should have fallen. Over and over again, the judgment of God surely should have fallen. Over and over again, the judgment of God surely should have fallen. But yet you'll see that God, in his rich mercy and his graciousness, extends a lengthy time of a grace, if you will, or of a mercy, if you will, to the people of Israel. Now, noteworthy, if you will, he says, here's what I've done. He said, I've testified against you. I've done it by the prophets in verse 30. He said, I've done that, and yet you've turned your ear. You've not listened to that. He said, so then what I did is I delivered you, or I gavest thou into the hand of the people of the lands. Now, many times when God brings judgment, here's what happens. God will cause a nation to rise up against another nation, whereby a nation will judge a nation. Sometimes you'll see that there's a civil war, and sometimes in the civil war, it's God's judgment that is coming within a nation. In other words, within the actual framework of a nation, is there a people that rises up against a people? We call that a civil war. And there's a people that rises up against a people, and sometimes God will use that to be able to bring judgment upon the land. Here you'll see that during this time, God is delivering those people that he's dealing with into the hands of the people of the land. But you'll also see this. You'll also see that God is reminding them over and over again how he could have consumed them. He said, I could have consumed you. However, I extended mercy. I extended goodness. I could have wiped you out, but I allowed these things to come in your life, and then I showed how rich I was onto you by giving mercy. I showed how rich I was onto you by giving goodness. Now, I want us to understand something this morning as we speak on the subject matter, how God gets your attention, how God gets your attention. I'm going to bring out three things specifically, and I'm going to detail them for you about how God gets our attention. Then I'll mention the fourth one, but let me just give you three things to begin with. Statement number one, here's what God does. And it's almost like steps. First, God will try to use triumphal things in your life in order to get attention. So step number one, here's what God does. God is good to us. God is good to us, and God tries to use those things that are good to us in order to get our attention. Noteworthy, the Bible says in Psalm 31 and verse 19, the Bible says, great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. And so the Bible says that here what God is doing, God is reminding them of how good he is. Now, I can tell you that there's been many times in my life where God has driven me to repentance because of his goodness. There's been many times in my life that God has driven me to a thankful heart because of his goodness. I remember one time I was preaching, I think it was in Malaybalay, and I never will forget, I was trying to get into the school. This was in the Philippines, and we were trying to get into the school, and they said, no, you can't do it. We have mass during this time, and the priest is the first one in, and of course, he's the one that comes, and he conducts the mass. We begin to pray that God would open a door, and this is many years ago, and God opened the door, and I showed up one morning. The priest was sick, and I said, well, God has sent me to take his place. And the principal said, okay, then you can come in. And I went in, and that was the first time that I've ever seen over 3,000 people walk down the aisle to receive Christ as Savior in one given service. Now, wait a minute. I was driven to tears because of the goodness of God. The goodness of God. Now, may I say, it is so very important to understand that God is good to us. And many times, God will allow his goodness to show through. And what does that do? That drives us back to him. Come on. If it was not for God, you would not be here this morning. If it was not for God, you would not have the health that you have this morning. If it was not for God, you would not have the house that you have this morning. If it was not for God, you would not have the riches that you have. And by the way, your riches compared to other people's riches is of a great wealth. If you would travel with me or with others that go to third world countries, you would thank God that you live in whatever you live in today, because whatever you live in today, comparatively speaking, is riches compared to what they live in. So God has been good to you. God has poured out his riches upon you. And because of that, many times we will be driven to tears. I remember when I was graduating from college, there was a young man that was standing behind me. He's getting ready to receive his degree just like me. And he tapped me on the shoulder and he said, Mike, he said, I know that we're getting ready to graduate, but I would really like to settle something before I graduate. His name was Donnie Mercer. And Donnie tapped me on the back of the shoulder and he said, I'm not saved. He said, I'd like to graduate a saved man. Especially since I'm graduating from Bible college, I'd like to graduate a saved man. And I said, well, Donnie, we've been through school together. We've sat in classes together for 4 years. He said, I said, you know how to be saved? He said, yes, I do. He said, but I need somebody to lead me to Christ. And I said, okay, right there in the graduation line, Donnie bowed his heart, received Jesus Christ the Savior, and graduated a saved man. Now, when I received my diploma and I walked across that platform, I was rejoicing for two reasons. Number one, because I graduated. Number two, because Donnie was graduating, he was graduating a saved man. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying there's been many times in my life that I have been driven to tears simply because of God's goodness. God's goodness. God has been good to you. And if you just let that resonate inside of your heart this morning, you'll leave here more pumped up. You'll leave here more excited about the things of God. Because I'll be honest with you, you don't deserve anything that God has given you. But because of his richness and because of his mercy, he gives you that which you do not deserve. And because of that which is his graciousness, if you will, he gives you heaven, if you will, the things that you don't deserve. And the mercy withholds the things, the judgment, if you would please, that we do deserve. Now, may I say this morning that God has been good to us. There's the triumphantness of God, how God will help us. God saved us, though we don't deserve to be saved. God loved us, though at one time we were his enemy. God spared the punishment from us, though we certainly deserve punishment. God has granted us blessing, though we certainly do not deserve it. God has loaded us with his benefits on a daily basis, yet we do not deserve it. God hears and answers our prayers, though we do not deserve it. God forgives us when we don't deserve being forgiven. God cleanses us, though we're dirty and filthy and vile. God strengthens us, though we're weak. God will heal us, though we're sick. God will feed us when we're hungry. God will give us words when we don't understand what to say. God will meet us every step of the way. God will allow us to be able to live in a free country like America. God has given us clothes and food and jobs. God has given us good families and friends and a good church. God has given us life and health and ability. God has blessed us with all the good measures that God himself could only give. Now, why is it then that we would feel as though we have a right to complain about anything? God has been good to us. I lost my voice a couple of days ago. You can probably tell it's not up to par yet. But I wasn't feeling good. I think sometimes when I go on these trips and you get 3 and 4 hours worth of sleep and you just keep going and going, it kind of wears you down a little bit. But I can tell you, I can rejoice this morning because I'm walking. I can rejoice this morning, though the voice is ragged and though the body is tired. I can rejoice this morning because I'm able to get out of bed. I'm able to speak. I'm able to fellowship. I'm able to encourage people. And may I say, that is God triumphantly working in our lives. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Romans chapter 2 and in verse 4, the Bible says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Romans chapter 11 and verse 22, the Bible says, behold, it says, therefore the goodness of the sovereignty of God. And so God is teaching us that here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be good to you. Now, by the way, God is good to you whether you deserve it or not, because he is God. He's not good to you because you deserve it. He's not good to you because you've earned it. He is good to you because that is the very nature of God. Sometimes I think we get it confused. We think, well, God is blessing me because I am in God's good favor. No, God is blessing you because that's the goodness of God. God will take and work in your life. You know, the Bible says that God rains upon the just and the unjust. The Bible says that the sun shines upon the just and the unjust. But here's what we do as believers. We say, well, I tell you what, the reason that God is being so good to me is because of who I am. No, the reason God is being so good to you is because of who He is. That's why God's being good to you. Has nothing to do with you. Has everything to do with Him. So when you get all puffed up and you think, boy, I tell you what, I deserve what I'm getting because look how good God has been to me. No, the only reason that you're getting what you're getting is because of the very goodness of God. And when you become so proud and so puffed up thinking that you deserve the goodness of God, you misunderstand the very graciousness of God Himself. Thank God that God is who He is. Well, we kept a tight schedule. We were in the Philippines. We get up between 4 and 4:30 a.m. and we meet at the church at 5:30 a.m. for devotions. And so people would come in at 5:30 a.m. for devotions. And 6 o'clock we leave, and some of us, some left earlier, would be in the public schools, and they'd be in the public schools by 6 a.m. And from 6 a.m. to 8:30 in the public schools, going classroom to classroom to classroom to classroom, nonstop, just giving out the gospel, nonstop, just giving out the gospel, and just making sure that people have a good understanding about the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and understanding who is the Savior of the world. And then introducing them to Christ. And what a blessing it was to see 11,046 or 49 people bow their heart to receive Christ as Savior. 331 classrooms. That's a lot of talking. That's a lot of giving out the gospel. Now, wait a minute. There was 100 plus soul winners that went in the morning time, 100 plus soul winners that went in the afternoon, and our team went to almost all of those. And may I say, it is so important that we understand. We could look at that and say, well, I'll tell you what, boy, God did use Pastor Wells, and God did use Brother Denton, and God did use Brother Lofton and Brother Bontegal, and boy, God, yeah, well, okay, but wait a minute. God would have used anybody that would have went. So it's not the specialty of the person, it's the specialty of God working. See, God will use a vessel. All God is looking for is a vessel. Somebody says, well, I want the blessings of God. The more that you give yourself to God, the more that God blesses you. You have to be in the place of God blessing you. I went into a classroom, and I was able to go in and take some snaps of different parts of the classrooms. And I watched Brother and Mrs. Bell, and Brother and Mrs. Bell was in that classroom and giving out that gospel. And I watched those children respond to them. And I watched the smiles on their faces as they saw the children responding to them. You know, it is a good thing to be in a place where you can see the blessings of God. That's why I pray tell me, but I think it's a good place to be in when you come to church on Sunday morning. You know, you're not going to a plane wreck this morning, you're going to church. You're not going to a hospital this morning, you're going to church. This is not a funeral home where we're gathering in remorse and with great sorrow because one of our loved ones has departed. No, this is church. And so when you come to church, you can certainly put on a smile when you come to church. This is a good place. Hey, nobody's smoking dope in front of you this morning. It's a good place. Nobody is visiting you in jail this morning. This is a good place. Hey, and you can rejoice this morning. Why? Because God has put you in a place. God has brought you to a place. And you can look around this morning and be triumphant in your heart because God has been good to you. I'm saying this morning that there are reasons and things that God does in your life to get your attention. One of the things that God does in your life to get your attention is God is just good to you. God is helping you to see that He can be the one that is triumphant in your life. Stimulus number two, another way, if Him being triumphant in your life does not get your attention, here's what He does. He brings trials. He brings trials. I think God's first step is He brings those things that are triumphant in your life. Because after all, God is good is his character. God is good is his character. So when you look at, when you go outside and it's beautiful outside and the leaves are blowing and the clouds are floating and it's a blue sky with the white clouds and the warmth of God's sun warms your flesh and you walk outside and yet there's still a cool breeze that's blowing as we get ready to go into the fall seasons and you step outside and you say, boy, this is just absolutely wonderful. But it's not wonderful because you created it. It's wonderful because you get to be a part of what God has created. Church is not wonderful, don't get me wrong, and I love you and I'm glad you're here, but church is not wonderful because you showed up. Church would be wonderful whether you showed up or not. But because you show up, you get to be a part of the wonderfulness of it. You know, there's some people shouting amen in here, and they would shout amen in here whether you were here or not. Now, don't get me wrong. Thank God everybody is here and everybody is important to God. But sometimes I think we look at it differently. We walk into a room and the room brightens up and we think, well, we walked in the room brightened up and it's because of us. Well, it might be that the room brightened up, are you listening to me, because somebody else was there and they smiled at you when you came in. Can't we ever get back to the point, to the place where we give God all the glory? Why do we have to have a part of any of the glory? Can't we ever get to the point, I know when I first came and kids would get up to sing or kids would get motivated, excited about going soul winning, and I'd compliment them. They'd say, thank you. I said, why don't we change that a little bit? Why don't we say maybe thank you and add something to it? Say thank you, praise the Lord. And reflect the praise. Somebody says, well, hey, you sang a great song. Well, thank you. Praise the Lord. Because if it was not for the Lord, the song would not be as great. Come on. Somebody comes and says, boy, you're doing a great, great job as a daddy. Well, thank you. Praise the Lord. Well, you're doing a great job as a Sunday school teacher. Well, thank you. Praise the Lord. And reflect that back to him. Why? Because he's the one that deserves all praise. He's the one. I'm sorry, but churches are way too much following a man. Churches ought to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to decide that we put him first and keep him first. Why? Because if it was not for him, you wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for God answering prayer, your prayers would not get answered. It is God. It is not you. It is not me. It is God himself. Now I'm saying, so be triumphant. Be triumphant. All right? How can you be triumphant? You can be triumphant in being in the place where God is blessing. Statement number one, that's how God gets our attention. But if he doesn't get our attention by us being triumphant in what he is doing, then here's what happens. He allows trials to come in our life. Do we understand that the children of Israel now, coming from Egypt, was heading towards the promised land? And the Bible teaches that they were going to go through the desert place. But, you know, they didn't have to wander for 40 years. They didn't have to wander for 40 years. But it was during that time of 40 years in wonderment, we understand this, that Psalm 107 was penned, and the Bible talks about how Israel was crying out. And Psalm 107 in verse 5, he says, hungry and thirsty. It says their soul fainted in them. But listen to what happens. Every single time the trial comes, every single time they find themselves, now they're traveling. They're heading to the promised land. Now, you think of the promised land, you think of victory. You think of the promised land, you think of complete deliverance. You think of the promised land, you think of a place of absolute wonderfulness. But here they're heading through the desert, if you will, to the promised land. And over again, they're crying out because they're hungry. They're crying out because they're thirsty. They're crying out because they're faint in the way. Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 107 and verse 6. He says, and then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Psalm 107 and verse 13, the Bible says, and they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Psalm 107 and verse 19, and they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. Psalm 107 and verse 28, the Bible says, and they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Boy, it sounds like that they were just in trouble all the time. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Now notice that God, in every single one of these verses, in verse 6, in verse 13, in verse 19, in verse 28, as the children of Israel are crying out in their trouble, the Bible equates that with distresses. So when we are in distress, we fight. All right, you ever see a swimmer? Swimmer gets out there, he's swimming, he's a good swimmer, but he gets out there and he's swimming. All of a sudden his muscles get tired. Then all of a sudden he finds himself in distress. When he finds himself in distress, he begins to sink. And at that time, he needs somebody to come along and rescue him out of his distress. Well, see, here's the children of Israel. The children of Israel found themselves in trouble, and God equated that with distress. So every time that they found, now, by the way, the desert had always been the desert. Do we understand that? So the desert place had not changed. What had changed is God brought the people to the desert. As God brought the people to the desert, now they face something that has always been the same. However, it became trouble in their life. See, when we don't be triumphant, when we don't see God and God does not get our attention because of his goodness, when we're always walking around, woe is me, I'm not going to make it. Whoa, I just feel like I'm in distress. When we're walking around always looking inward, always upset, always looking like we're going to fail, and we don't see the God of heaven coming through for us, then automatically God says, here's what I'm going to do. You're not seeing the triumphalness. You're not seeing how good I am. I'm not getting your attention. So then let that which is trouble come. Because then maybe I'll get your attention. See, God created us for him. We're created to bring him good pleasure. A book of Revelation, chapter 4 and verse 11. That's why I was created. I was created to bring God pleasure. If I'm walking around and I got poochy lip disease, I'm walking around and I'm upset, I'm walking around and it's woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. God says you're missing the very purpose for which I created you. I did not create you to look inward and have a self-pity party and walk down the trial and the trails of life that way. I created you so that you can allow me to be able to work through you. As the Apostle Paul prayed that the Holy Ghost of God would have free course. Now, wait a minute, watch this, if you will. And so here's what we see. We see how God wants to get our attention. First off, God will do this. He will bring triumphal things in your life. Victory. Victory after victory after victory after victory. Now, by the way, don't look at it half-hearted. Well, you know, God, I know you've been good to me, but you could have been better. God, I know you answered this prayer, but only part of it. God, you gave me almost everything I wanted, but why don't you thank God for all that he's done? If he's only given you a part of your prayer answered, thank God for the part of the prayer that he answered. Don't always be slapping God back in the face saying, God, I deserve more. Beloved, if you got what you deserved and I got what I deserved, we'd both be burning in hell. But because of the very goodness of God, I'm telling you, because of the very goodness of God, you're here today. I'm here today. Look, pick your chin up out of that which is your desert place and put it on God and recognize the very goodness of God is working in your life. I'd rather God answer half of my prayer than none of my prayer. Hello? Oh, see, here's what we do. God, I tell you, I'm not going to rejoice because I don't have full health. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to rejoice because I don't have full health. God, I don't feel 100% on top side. So since God, I only feel about 56% on topside, I'm only going to praise you for 56%. But that's the way we are. Why don't you praise God for all the health that God has given you and trust God for more? I'm saying this, here's what we understand. God does have a way to get our attention. Statement number one, he always does it first through triumphs. Through triumphs. God has been good to you. Now, you may not want to recognize it. You may not want to see it, but God has been good to you. You had the ability to walk today. You've got the ability to talk today. You came to church today. You're sitting in an air-conditioned auditorium today. You're sitting on a padded pew today. You're sitting beside somebody, hopefully, that likes you today. You have all these things that's inside of you. Now, wait a minute. Thank God that he's been triumphal to you. Statement number one. Statement number two. Now, if he can't get your attention through being triumphal to you, he will get your attention through trials. See, God is wanting your attention. So if he cannot get your attention through that which is good, then maybe he's going to bring some trials in the life. Think about the prodigal son. Prodigal son lived at home, had it pretty good, didn't he? Had it pretty good. But he always wanted more. He wasn't satisfied with what God gave him. The grass always looked greener on the other side. And by the way, the grass will always look greener on the other side. Those that live in the south want to live in the north, and those that live in the north want to live in the south. Those that's in the Philippines have the tan skin, they want the white skin. Those that's in America have the white skin, they want the tan skin. Those that, are you listening to me? Seems like nobody's ever satisfied. Those that have a lot of weight want less weight. Those that have less weight want more weight. Nobody's ever satisfied. Why can't we be satisfied with the way that God made us? Why can't we be satisfied with what God has given us? See, the Bible talks here, if you will, this prodigal son, he had it pretty good at home. He was living well at home. Then all of a sudden, he gets out on the road. He gets all that which is his inheritance that's due to him upon his father's death, and he gets it early. He languishes it on the road. He loses his money. He loses his friends. He lays down in the pig pen, and now he's licking the slop. Well, that's a long way from where he was. How'd he get there? He wasn't thankful. He wasn't thankful. God said, son, I give it to you. You've got a nice home. You've got a good daddy. You've got all this, and I've given it to you. It's all yours, and you can have it until the time that you die. And he said, that's not good enough. I don't want it then. I want it now. And by the way, when you want something now that should be given to you later, then you don't know what to do with it when you get it out of God's order, and you won't use wisdom and using it correctly. The reason God has not given some people more than he's given is because God knows he can't trust you with it. When you prove to God that you can be trustworthy of more, he will not withhold his hand of more from you. But you have to prove yourself. One of those ways that you prove yourself in your financial world is by giving your tithes and your offerings, by putting God first. When you put God first, God said, okay, now I can trust you with a little bit more wealth. Now I can trust you with, by the way, all of it belongs to him anyway. Amen. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So all of it belongs to God anyway. So it's like God said, here's what I'm going to do. Stand up, Dr. Nash, if you will. Do you have a billfold on you? May I have it? Do you have anything in the billfold? No. Let's say he does. Let's say he's got, oh, I don't know. Let's make him $100,000. Okay, $100,000. And so here's what God does. God says, here's what I'm going to do. Brother Nash, you have proven yourself with the $10,000 I gave you. You did a good job. Then when I gave you that $30,000, you did a good job. I remember the day I gave you $75,000, you did good. Now I'm going to give you that $100,000. And as he gives it to you, now by the way, he may give it to you all in one lump sum. He may give it to you in a year time, and that's what you make. He may give it to you in your lifetime and that's all you make. The fact still remains, God is the one that does the giving and you're the one that does the receiving. Whatever God gives you, whether it is in a day, whether it is in a week, whether it is in a year, whether it is in a lifetime, what God does is God gives that to you so that now you have that and you can prove God. Malachi chapter 3. As you prove God, then God says, here's what I will do because you proved me. And he said, you obeyed me and you proved me. Now, he said, you have proven that I can trust you more and God gives you more. That's the way God works. We say, but you don't understand. I've got just enough to pay the electricity and just enough to pay the rent and just enough to pay for this. And God, I don't have anything left over to give your tithe and offering. You got it backwards. If I were you, don't get me wrong, but I'd pay the biggest one first. There's nobody bigger than God. By the way, there's nobody that... Okay, can I help you out a little bit? We're on a rabbit trail right now, but follow my rabbit as we go down the path. Watch this, if you will. Here's a person that gets off path. Here's a person that says, well, I'm going to pay my electricity. I'm going to pay my rent. I'm going to pay my food bill. I'm going to pay my dental bill. All right, and I'm sorry, God, I don't have anything left. Too bad, so sad on you. I don't have anything left. God looks down from heaven, and he says, oh, you got it backwards, son. Too bad, so sad on you. Because if you can't trust me first, I'm not going to give to you. And you'll always be paying those. You'll always be in debt. You'll always be digging your way out. You'll never be prosperous. Hello? God says, if you ever get out of the nursery department and you're giving and you put me first, then you prove me. He said, then that's when I open the windows of heaven. See, thank you. Be seated if you will. That's where the trials come. God, you gave to me, I'm just going to give back. Wow, look how good you've been to me. I'm rejoicing. I'm going to use my life for you. I'm not going to be selfish. I'm going to take and give to you and give to you. And God says, I'll give back to you and give back to you. And there's a partnership. There's not a partnership with man. There's a partnership with man and God. Hello? When there's a partnership with man and God, there's no fear with a partnership of man and man because God is more powerful than man. So what do? Here's what I do. I put God first. I test God. By the way, are you listening to me? I prove God. Yes, sir. And when I prove God, God will always come out on top side. If I had a business today and it was going in bankruptcy, I'd tithe out of the business so that God could change the rivers. If I had a home and I was behind with my creditors, I would tithe so that God could change the flow of the rivers. We have it backwards because God is still God, and God does bless, and God does open doors, and God will supply your need, but you have to decide that you get close to God and let God help you every step of the way. Now, I'm saying statement number one, here's what happens. God said, I want to get your attention through being triumph. I want to give you some trophies. I want to be triumphant in your life. He says, I'm hoping that that goodness will draw you back to me. I'm hoping that that goodness will wake you up to help you see that I need to be first. But if it doesn't, then what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to move to trials. And as he moves into trials, many times we learn lessons in ways we don't want to learn them. Many times we see things and we do wake up, but we wake up at times in which we don't want to see. He said, if I can't get it through triumph, I can't get it through trials, statement number three, and I'm done, he'll do it through tragedy. He'll do it through tragedy. Now, by the way, it moves downhill from here, but listen to what he says. Over in Psalm 78 and verse 34, the Bible says, and when he slew them, then they sought him. And they returned and inquired early after God. Now, wait a minute. Watch what it says. And when he slew them, then they sought him. What is that? That's tragedy. And then they returned and inquired early after God. All right, so what happens is this. First, there's triumph. We all like that, don't we?
Woo!
Oh, come on. All right, here's what we got to get as Christians. Instead of being that negative, woe is me, suck the thumb, nothing's ever right. Instead of looking at your glass and being half empty and saying, boy, God, you've not been good to me. Why don't you look at your glass that is half full and say, God, I'm rejoicing in what you've given me. That's the way God expects you to look at it. It's the negative person that has no faith or little faith that never gets things from God. Because they're always looking at it from here down instead of looking at it from here up. Come on. My Bible says I'm supposed to come to him how? By faith. My Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. What is faith? Faith is believing in, not unbelieving in. It's not a negative, it's a positive. It's believing in. And until you move from the realm of being negative to that which is the realm of positive, you're not going to see your prayers being answered like you want them. Because you've got to believe in. That's why I love being around Christians that are full of God and full of persuasion that God can. Love being around that type of Christian. Because you're around that type of Christian long enough, they begin to convince you that, oh, God certainly can. Yes, he can. But you get around the person all the time, it's, well, I just don't know. Well, maybe God can't. Well, I'm just not sure. Well, you know, I'm not sure if God, okay. All right, here's, first he gets our attention through triumphs, then through trials, then through tragedy. Here's what happens. God gives deliverance, God gives possessions, God gives provisions, but then all of a sudden, you see, God also gives the adversaries, and he also gives the judgments. Here's what he says here. He says, when he slew them, then they sought him. Why? He got their attention, didn't he? What did it take? It took a slewing. He said, then they sought him. Come on. Person comes to my office. You ready? Here we go. Here's how your pastor counsels. Person comes to my office. They say, Pastor, I'm having financial problems. First question out of my mouth to them, tell me about your tithing. Tell me about your tithing. Because if you're stealing from God, then you can't expect God to bless you. I want to know about your tithing. Because you cannot rob from God and get away with it. You can't do it. You can't do it. God's going to slap you silly. You can't do it. So when a person comes to me and says, whoa, preacher, I'm having financial difficulty. First thing I ask them, how you tithing? How you tithing? Are you doing every week? Are you doing it on every penny? On every penny. Are you doing it with what God blesses you? Example, God gives me a suit that's worth $250. I'm going to tithe $25. You know why? Because the Bible talks about giving. It says of the first fruits. This is a first fruit. A whole lot cheaper to pay $25 for a suit than it is $250. Hello? All right? Now, and God looks at that. By the way, that's the only time in the Bible where you're going to see that God will fill their barns. Only time in the Bible where he says, I'm going to fill your barns. The other time God says, I'll give back to you. But when you start tithing off of things that God, substances that God gives you, he says, now I'm going to fill your barns. It's a whole lot different. Watch this, if you will. The Bible says he slew them. The Bible says, and sought them. And then they returned and they required early after God. Have you ever seen that? Somebody in the hospital, and they say, preacher, I think I'm going to die, but if you pray and God delivers me, I promise I'll serve God all the days of my life. All right, what happened? God slew them, put them in a predicament, and then all of a sudden now they decide they're going to return to God early. They're going to run back to God early. Now, wait a minute. From the word of the Lord, you'll see that Jonah turned. God gave him warning. God sent some waves in his life, got those attention around him. Then all of a sudden there appeared a whale. Then all of a sudden he goes back to the word. Came full circle. First there was the word and it ended up with the word. It came full circle. May I say, look, it is very, very important to understand that God wants to do things triumphant in our life. If not, he tries to get us through trials. If not, through tragedy. And let me give you the last one, and I'm not going to go into it, through termination. Through termination. You know, one thing I learned from my daddy. Here's what my daddy did. My daddy said, now, Michael, he said, you didn't do that right. He walked beside me. That's what he did. Walk beside me. If I didn't do something right, you know, Brother Champion, if I didn't do something right, my dad, he knew a little bit about electricity. He was an electrician and also worked at the bank, Maryland National Bank. And so, you know, he had men under him. And so he said, Mike, he said, you do it this way. And if I didn't do it that way, he would walk beside me, Brother Jonathan, your granddad, would walk beside me and say, let me show you how to do it. He showed me how to do it. And if I didn't get it right, then he would rebuke me for not doing it. Then after a while, he would say, you sit down. If I didn't do it right, he'd say, you sit down and let me do it. But I'd have to stay right beside him. Now, that's when I was a little boy. Now may I say, God does the very same thing. Don't you do that with your children? Don't you do that with your children? Well, sure you do. Jade, come here, if you will. Come here, watch this. All right, so here's what I do. I say, Jade, here's what I want you to do. Jade, I want you to do this for me. I want you to take, stand right there, and I pretend I'm Jade's dad, and so I come over here, and I say, Jade, I want you to come over here. And she did pretty good. All right, and then I go over here, and I'm doing something, and I say, Jade, come over here, and she doesn't come. So then what I do, I go over to her and say, you know, I told you to come over there and you didn't come over there. Come on, let's go together. That's the way it works. You ready? Here we go. Are you ready? Now, and I go over here, you stay. I go over here and I say, now, Jade, come over here. She doesn't come. And then I go over, I get her and say, come on, let's go over here. And she's not paying attention. I say, sit down right here. And you're going to watch me. Sit down right there, first step. You're going to watch me as I do this. Do you get it? See, that's what happens. All right, come on. That's how you are as a parent. Thank you. Be seated. Here's what you are as a parent. You say, I saw you talking in church. And you give your child a warning. Do not talk in church. Isn't that what you do? Sure you do. Then all of a sudden you looked up there and you saw him talking in church again. Say, look, I told you not to talk in church. Now, tonight, you're sitting beside me. Is that right? So that's what God says. God says, hey, look, you get the joy of serving me, and you get the joy of walking beside me and pleasing me and doing everything that I told you to do, and blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing. You and me, fellowship, will of God, happiness, fulfillment. Oh, it's so great. And we start to get away, and God says, I'm still going to bless you. Maybe it'll remind you to come back closer to me. And God said, well, that didn't remind you. Maybe if I send you a trial a little bit, that will remind you. Oh, that didn't remind you. Well, maybe if I send some tragedy in your life, well, that didn't remind you. Well, maybe what I need to do is just terminate to bring you up to sit beside me. And that way I can certainly have your attention. Hello? God has ways of getting our attention. Would to God that we would languish, not in perish. If we would be that one that would just kind of be right there in triumph, just rejoicing about everything that God has done. I'm sorry, you have a pastor that's very positive about what God does. You know, there's been very few times, there's been times I'm not a perfect man. Neither are you a perfect member. There's been times when you'll see a sadness fill my heart about something or someone. But I would say probably 90% of the time, if not even greater than that, you have a pastor that's just on top side because of the goodness of God. Because I realize the goodness of God is not surrounded by circumstances or by people. The goodness of God is my relationship with Him. And I understand that. I understood that many years ago. And so because of that, I have a very positive outlook on what God can do. You know why? Because God is good. And the closer I get to God who is good, the more I realize how blessed I really am. Why don't you get close to Him this morning? You haven't talked to Him in a while? Why don't you talk to Him? If you haven't read your Bible in a while, why don't you get that Bible down, dust it off, and read it again? You haven't obeyed him in a while, why don't you get your body up, walk down an aisle, and start to obey him all over again? Why don't you decide to put him first, keep him first? Why? Because he wants to bless you as you walk triumphantly in him. And by the way, that's how he gets your attention. But he's expecting you to walk close to him. Don't let those other things come. Father, bless, we pray.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.